Hello and welcome back to Pucked in the Head. My name is Jason Carello, and the following segment, I had the joy, the honor, the privilege of speaking with one John Stewart. He is our Seattle Mariners correspondent in the great state of Washington, and I had the pleasure of speaking with him last week about the Mariners' defense. We're talking about the backside of the ball. How are their gloves? How's their fielding? And gosh darn it, why are they just stinking the place up so much this year? Okay, so we've talked about starting pitching, we've talked about the bullpen. Right. Now let's get into, I want to stay on the defensive side of the ball.
Right.
How are they behind the plate?
Zunino offensively is not something we really want to talk about very much. He's flirting with the famous Mendoza line, which for a while you could get a beer for the Mendoza line. Mendoza was a Mariner in the, I don't know, it was mid-80s, I think. And he was hitting like 190. So, you know, getting a beer for $1.90 even in those days was a pretty good deal. Zunino's not doing well offensively, and I don't know the reasons why. I don't think the team...
Is he traditionally a good offensive player?
He's a home run hitter, you know?
Okay, so he's
He's a slugger, so when he makes contact,
the
ball goes a long way.
Catchers often are.
Yes, but he's...
But he's great behind the plate.
But he's fantastic behind the plate. And I hear fans say, oh, you know, he can't hit, we should get... No, this is a guy who, what they call pitch framing, which is the art of convincing the umpire that a pitch was a strike, right? It sounds silly at this level to think about having to play the game like that, but if you can consistently get every two at-bats an extra strike, think about that over the course
of
9 innings.
That's a huge percentage.
It's huge, right?
Now, I understand that he wears a different catcher's mitt when he catches for Paxton.
Yes. And
this is a custom-designed mitt.
Yes. So what little I've read about that tells me, and it's not uncommon for guys to carry multiple mitts. It's a little weird for a catcher, but a lot of guys...
Well, and it's weird for the pitcher to design the mitt and say, use this when
mitt.
I throw.
Yes, because the pitcher is basically saying, I know how I throw the ball, right? And I believe this design will help you keep the ball from getting away from you better.
And right. From the catcher's point of view, he's got to think, whether or not that is a load of crap, if you believe it,
yes,
it makes you a better pitcher.
Exactly right. Again, it's all in the head, right? It's all in the head. It's the same reason why guys will, you know, they won't actually step on the line. Like, if you ever watch Felix, right? When he comes out of an inning and he leaves the mound, he'll run across the infield grass, right? As soon as he gets to the base path, he will always hop over the chalk line. He never touches his foot on the chalk line.
Step on a crack, break your mother's back.
Exactly right. Superstitions are huge, right? And all of the mental stuff. So, you know, does it actually make him a better catcher when Paxton is pitching to use that? I don't know. You could get the numbers if you really wanted to dig into it.
Well,
this is a game that's, you know...
Baseball is...
We're all about
there's
stats.
There's no shortage of statistics.
God.
Okay, so, now behind Zunino...
Right.
Do we even need to think about that?
Sucre's your backup catcher. You know, he's adequate. Backup catcher is more if the wheels fall off.
Okay.
Right?
Or if there's an injury.
If there's an injury. And the other thing is that you always have a backup catcher because you have to have one to play. And most of these guys, this is not what they do.
You also need someone in the bullpen to help guys warm up.
Yes, you have that. You also have this idea that catching is physically brutal. Right? And it is. I mean, it's brutal. And so...
The crouch, the impact, the joints,
yes,
all that stuff.
The fact that, you know, foul balls will routinely get whacked off of various portions of your body.
It's a very diplomatic way of putting it.
So you need to give these guys a break periodically. And so that's, you know, your backup catcher is going to start sometimes.
All right. So now, what about the rest of the infield? Now, first, I want to go first to Robinson Cano. Has he brought it the way he was supposed to bring it?
I think it depends on what you think he was supposed to bring, right?
Well, you tell me. You're the Mariners expert.
I think when he came here, there was a side of Mariners fandom that thought he was going to be the home run hitter.
And he was the second coming of Ken Griffey.
Right, and I don't think that's really who Cano is. What I love about him...
Well, he's solid defensively,
he's
right?
Excellent defensively, what they call baseball IQ. He can read the field like nobody I know. There was a play last week, I think... where he is on, he's at the plate. And no, I'm sorry, he's on second base. I forget who's at the plate. Ball gets hit. There's a runner at first. He's going from second to third. The runner from first has to go to second. You have to run, right? And the batsman obviously has to make it to first base. Well, Cano reads the play, realizes that the shortstop is going to get the ball, and it's going to be an easy double play. He literally runs into the path of the baseball so that it hits him. Play is dead. He's out. But that means but now you've got runners at first and second. Right. Yes. And you took away the double play ball, right? But he doesn't even, like, I think if you asked him this question, he doesn't even, it's not a, there's not a thought process there. Like, his brain is so fast to read the play, he knows that he's already running, right? And he does that. How many guys are going to run into a baseball to save a, but I mean, he's that good, right? So I think he's fantastic that way.
Where other guys would need to process that information.
And by that point, it's too late.
And by then, the ball's by him already.
Exactly. He's a double. He's a great doubles hitter, Cano. So I think what I think he brings to the table, other than that great baseball IQ, I think a lot of the guys have learned a lot from him. When he's at the plate, and we've talked about the mental side of the game, he can read the situation. He knows what's possible in a given situation. If he can do X with the baseball, he can score Y runs, right? Maybe it's a little bloop fly to left. Maybe it's a solid ground up the middle. Whatever it is, he's got the intelligence and the skill to say, much like Ichiro used to do, I'm going to get that hit. And you know, probably a good, decent percentage of the time, he's going to get the hit he wants to get.
So right? is he an RBI leader on the team?
I don't know the stat, to be honest. This is the no research problem here.
Right.
But my sense would be he's not in first because I'm pretty sure that Mr. Cruz, who we'll get to, is. But he's going to be up there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So now what about the rest of the infield?
So first base, you got Logan Morrison, now that Justin Smoke is playing for Toronto. But I'm assuming he's still starting for Toronto. I haven't been following him anymore. I'm kind of glad he's gone, to be honest. Lomo is a good defensive first baseman. The bat's getting better, he's not the greatest first baseman you're ever going to see, but he's getting it done. I'm happy with him. He's been knocking some home runs. He's definitely got power. And he's two surgically repaired knees, so home runs are nice because you can trot around the base.
Right.
It's a good thing. Okay. And then at shortstop, you kind of got this little dance going on right now with Chris Taylor and Brad Miller. They brought Taylor up from the minors because he's a great defensive shortstop. Offensively, hasn't been doing all that well.
Now, Miller's been hitting the ball out of the park a
right.
little bit.
Right, so Miller had been struggling defensively, but offensively, they liked what they saw and keep him around.
I think he had 3 home runs just in the Red Sox series.
Yeah. So they've been playing him at DH, which... originally, the theory was that Nelson Cruz was going to be your DH, right? But they've realized that Cruz actually plays a passable outfield, so you can keep that bat in the lineup and then have the DH slot to play around with. And you have to remember that in the American League, because you have the DH rule, you can move guys around. It's not a set position. So if somebody needs a break, you put them at DH, they don't have to take the field, they get some rest. But Miller's kind of been occupying that DH spot lately, and as you said, doing very well. I mean, 3 home runs in a 4-game series is...
Well, I think the 3 home runs were actually in the last 2 games.
In the last, that's even better then. Yeah. That's huge.
But he's got a 4 or 5-game hitting streak at this point, at the point of us having this conversation.
Right, so he's been hitting the ball well. So I think they've actually got kind of a happy problem there, because at some point either Taylor starts hitting the ball or... You know what, we're going to live with Miller's occasional defensive shortcomings because, gosh, this bat is, what we needed, right?
But you don't want to have too many defensive shortcomings
at shortstop. No, it's kind of a problem.
It's not a good place to have
it. It's a problem. So we'll see. I think that's going to be a fun one to watch and see how that pans out. Miller, I think Miller can do better defensively at shortstop than he has been, and we'll see. I mean, they're working with him.
He's fairly young, though, isn't he?
They all.
Is it a young team?
Relatively speaking, yeah. I don't think there's... I would guess the median age is probably 26, maybe.
Okay.
So fairly young, yeah, fairly young. And then, so to keep on in the infield, then third base, Kyle Seager, who is a rock star. The Mariners wisely extended his contract last spring, did a great deal with Kyle. I love watching him play. He's a great defensive third baseman and awesome. Awesome hitter. Great hitter. So I've been really happy
with him.
So
you don't like
him
is what you're saying?
Not at all. No, they could trade him tomorrow and I think I'd slit my wrists. He's that rare example of you had a guy, you brought him up through the system, and look at that. He actually panned out, right? you paid him, you know, fairly small dollars by major league standards for a couple of years, and hey, he was kind of good. So you signed him to a deal, and he's sticking around. I mean, that's Felix, right?
Right.
It's hard in this game to do that, and yet it's so crucially important because really.
A note to listeners: you do not comprehend the look of love in John's eyes as he is describing Felix.
It's true. It's everybody's got a man crush on Felix. What can I
And sorry, the third baseman's name again,
Seager.
Kyle Seager. Both of them. The look of sheer adoration in his eyes. It's a wonderment to behold.
You have to have somebody to hang your hat on, right? And those two guys right now, I think, are it. But baseball roster construction, fundamentally at the major league level, is all about you have a core group of homegrown talent who are relatively less expensive. And then you fill in the pieces around them with expensive free agents like your Nelson Cruzes, right?
Because you can't Robinson Canos.
Or your Robinson Canos, exactly. Because you can't have your whole team making $20 million a year,
even unless you're the Yankees.
Unless you're the Yankees, and then interestingly enough, sometimes you do that, and it still doesn't work. You know.
So. Well, they can't win every year.
No, thank God.
Okay, so outfield.
Outfield. So outfield. I was nervous about outfield the beginning of last season. That didn't pan out real well. This season has not also panned out very well. Dustin Ackley, God bless him, so much potential there, just unrealized. And I kind of keep feeling
on
like...
On both sides of the ball?
Yeah, defensively he's okay. He made a spectacular diving catch at a game I was at last week that was like ESPN highlight reel worthy. I mean, it was up against the wall. He slides in on the warning track, makes the catch at ground level. It was a brilliant catch. So he's got promise there. And I think he could be an okay defensive outfielder given more time, but offensively, it's just not happening. And he'll have a week where you're like, finally, he's... And then it's like, no, it's not happening. So I keep wondering how long the leash is on Ackley. The challenge is they don't really have any outfielders in Tacoma, so what do? You know, you go find a trade chip, and then who do you give up?
But could they give up one of their shortstops to go get a fielder?
They could, but then you're risking, you know, you don't want to give up Miller's bat, you don't want to give up Taylor's defense. What you really want is to somehow have some sort of Vulcan mind meld between the two of them, right? But they haven't been able to figure out how to do that yet. So,
geek card has now been geek achievement has been unlocked for the podcast.
Thank you very much. So, who else have you got out there? You had Austin Jackson in center, which I was really excited about. Jackson, of course, came over last year from the Tigers. We were really excited to have him. Then his bat was not quite what we'd hoped for, but defensively he looked solid. He's hurt. Just started a rehab assignment today, as a matter of fact, or maybe it was yesterday, very recently. So he'll be back eventually. In the meanwhile, like I said, they've been playing Cruz in the outfield, which I think has been an acceptable experience. I've watched him now live several times in right, and they're not always the route that San Ichiro would run, but they're good enough, and he's getting the balls. You know, he's not Manny out there,
yeah,
right, which is a good thing. Yeah, but it's not like you're writing home to your parents and saying, gosh, that Mariners outfield is, you know, wow.
What about in the dugout, post Lou Piniella?
Right.
How have things been on the manager side of things?
There's a number of names one could throw in there that probably aren't worth remembering. I think the irony of watching Bob Melvin, who is now managing the A's, is kind of marked because Melvin, when he was here, was at the tail end of the 01 Mariner, that era. And they had some fantastic talent, right? But the guys were getting old, and the Mariners did not make some moves they should have made, and they kind of just sat on what they had. And you can't really do that. You know, much like any sport, eventually guys, you love them, but you got to figure out either how to put them on the bench or let them go. And they didn't do that. And so I see Melvin now, you know, at a franchise which has almost no money, right? I mean, Moneyball is all about the A's. And Melvin's actually doing a great job managing a team that changes all the time. But he wasn't the right fit for the Mariners. So I had a lot of doubts when they got Lloyd McClendon. Not because I don't like Lloyd, but it's a tough gig. You know, it's a hard job. And how do you balance this team that really wants to win, that doesn't have all the pieces it needs yet, a general manager in Jack Sorensic who has had some time now? You can't fall back on the I didn't pick these guys argument. No, these are your guys now, right? It is awkward, but I think McClendon has been fantastic. He seems to have the respect of the players. Zarensic seems to trust him. I really, generally speaking, like the way that he manages the team on the field during a game. I mean, you have your differences occasionally, but hindsight's 2022. You know, that's a tough one. The guys seem happy with him. And again, so much of this game is all about that.
That was the second in our series of chats with John Stewart, our man of the Mariners, down in Seattle, Washington. You're listening to Pucked in the Head on Civil Radio 101.7 FM, serving Abbotsford, Chilliwack, Mission, and many, many other lovely places in the Fraser Valley. Now we'd like to leave you with a few bars of a great Canadian songstress, Serena Ryder. This is Stompa.
There's a light. For the grave.